It's the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, brought to you by Dr. Randy Walker, Simple Simons, Ayers Cleaners, and Leopard Care Clinic, your weekly local sports podcast. And now, to preview all areas of the upcoming football season, here's your hosts, Greg Revels and Tony Stowers.
And we're back with Episode 7 of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air.
We're no longer newbies. Episode 7, pretty good.
Yeah. Who would have thought we'd got this far?
Yeah, I don't know.
Without somebody shutting it down.
Yeah. I have 133 episodes of my podcast plus this 7. Now 140.
140.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're a
podcast pro.
Officially made it.
Yeah. You're a PP.
That's right. <yeah. laughs> Well, what do we got to say after week 3?
Week three, rough across
all our stations.
Tough week across all the stations, right? Mm. Unless
you're an outlaw.
Yeah. All the stations here.
Yeah.
The Leopards went down in flames. Horatio went down in flames.
Mm-hmm. Ashdown had a heartbreaker
of a loss to the Hope Bobcats. And we'll talk about all those things here in just a minute. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to talk about our sponsors.
Yeah, Randy Walker, Dr. Randy Walker, who has you covered 777. If I'm not mistaken, right? It's 777?
It's 777. That's 7 what I thought. Till 7, 7 days a week.
That's what that means.
Yeah.
Yeah, the multi-specialty clinic here in DeQueen, of course. 777. They're also available 24/7 after hours on call provider. Always ready for you. 870-584-3000. Choose option 6. For that 24/7 after hours,
and they answer the phone.
They do indeed. And again, Dr. Randy Walker offering pretty much everything. Especially if you're a business in this area, you need to provide DOT physicals, drug screenings, workers' comp, and employment and pre-employment physicals. They do all of that great stuff, as well as the things you'd expect, like wound care, fracture care and casting, joint injections, minor skin lacerations, IV fluids, and more. I've broken a few bones. Have you ever broken a bone, Greg?
No.
Well, if you did, you'd go by Dr. Randy Walker's. They'd cast you up and make sure that your fractures are taken care of.
I broke my left arm twice.
Really?
Both times playing basketball.
Oh, man. Yeah. I broke my left arm and then my left collarbone both times skateboarding. So I stopped being on anything with wheels on it. Realized I was really bad at it.
Get in something with wheels on it.
That's right. Now I do that.
Tyler Hawk.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. Tyler Hawk. I wish.
Yeah. Yeah. He was more like Tyler Crow.
Yeah, there you go.
Also, Ayers Cleaners, man.
Yeah, Ayers Cleaners.
Got to talk about them.
Down on Gilson.
621 West Gilson Avenue.
That's right. Very convenient location.
Yeah, and for all your cleaning needs, mm-hmm. they can do it.
Dry cleaning. What is dry cleaning anyway?
It's cleaning with dried.
Oh,
Seinfeld's explanation of dry cleaning?
Is that where you just take your fingernail and rub it and get that little stuff off your jeans?
That's it.
That's dry cleaning.
That's dry cleaning.
Okay.
That's not how they do it.
Yeah. Go and ask for
Greg's
clothing.
It's a chemical process.
Oh, I see.
That they use.
Gotcha.
Called dry cleaning.
It's a mystery to me, man.
They don't use water, but it really works well.
That's right.
Especially on the coats.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen Angie wearing my coat yet.
So. She will. Not at wherever you're going to be.
Hopefully not. Yeah. I find a movie stub ticket in it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. It's Seinfeld's everything.
Yeah.
Also brought to you by Simple Simons Pizza. Dine in, carry out, delivery, it don't matter. 870-642-4103. Stop in at their buffet going off every single weekday at 11 a.m. till 1 p.m., if I'm not mistaken. $8.99.
Yeah.
All you can eat pizza. You cannot beat that deal.
Salad.
Yeah. That's right. They also cater. So those loaded sports deals are ready for you to take advantage of. The pizza party pack, the sandwich pack, garden salad trays, the crowd pleaser, you name it. The beast feast.
And I like that one.
Yeah, it feeds 30 people.
Yeah.
So if you've got a big event coming up, Simple Simons Pizza is a great way to cater. Should we get into the Leopards? Should we talk about that real quick?
Yeah, we can talk about the Leopards. Leopards had a tough game this week. Mm-hmm. Played the Nashville Scrappers. Final score 49-0. Tony?
Well, it was our Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air Shelter Woods Agency Game of the Week. Say that real fast.
Woof.
Leopards just couldn't get the ground game going, and everything the Leopards do centers around being able to run the football, keep the football away from the other offense. One of the big reasons for that is the Scrappers had 7 tackles for loss. Leopards run roughly 42 plays, 7 go for loss. That's about 12% of your plays going backwards. You just can't have that in the flex bone. And then was unable to stop Nashville's run, 279 yards on the ground for the Scrappers.
Man.
Yeah, and a lot more through the air.
Yeah, well, there was some yards added in the air. We'll talk about that in a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I think one of the things that we continue to struggle with is our offense having sustained drives. And that puts a lot of pressure on our defense, which makes it harder for them to, you know, when you're out there all the time, you see this all, you know, You know, the defense just gets worn down.
Yeah.
And they just, you know, even if they stop them the first time or the second time, you know, when you don't ever get any rest, the third, fourth, fifth times.
Well,
you get,
especially when you're chasing the Scrappers. Their goal is, when they run the ball, is to get outside. And when they throw the ball, they throw deep a lot. So not only are you out there a lot of plays, you're not playing a team that's plunging the football up the middle. You're playing a team that's trying to get in space.
Yeah, so you're running as fast as you can, 30, 40 yards, and then going back and doing it again in 15 seconds.
Sounds like a slog up against Nashville.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a tough night. If a few good things could have happened for us early, I think our kids were ready to play, but those things went against us early, and you know, there tends to be the thinking, here we go again, you know.
Well, let's see about what Coach Richard Bell has to say, because we have him live in studio.
Coach, glad to have you here, and another tough loss this week, Scrappers 49, Leopards 0.
Oh, yeah, it was it's not the outcome that we wanted. Again, I thought we went into the game with a good game plan. Unfortunately, this game, I don't think our defense performed like we had in the past. The first two games, we were dead stout on run game. You know, we gave up less than 100 yards in both of the previous games. But in this game, our reads were kind of off on the inside interior seven. Our D linemen and linebackers didn't get the correct reads that we were talking about all week long, and that hurt us in the long run.
You know, Coach, and we couldn't run the ball either, which is, you know, part of our whole game plan when we play anybody, is us being able to move the ball, keep the football away from their high-powered offense, and on both sides of the running game, it just didn't work out for us.
Yeah, I thought offensively-wise, I thought our mesh, which is, you know, the quarterback to fullback relationship, I thought that was a lot better this game.
Right.
We had Jackson Van Winkle out, and so we have our second string fullback in there, and I thought they did a great job. Now, also, when we get into our bone set, getting to that third phase of our triple option is big for us. So it's the quarterback making the read key, pulling the ball, and then he's taking off so he can either keep it or pitch it or give it. And so we got to the third phase a couple of times, which I thought was good, things that we can work on there. There was a lot of plays after watching film that we were one block off from hitting it big, and we watched that yesterday. There's a couple of times we would have had a big run, and they bring a safety down. But they bring the safety down.
Right.
We block everybody on the line, do it perfectly, and the safety comes down and takes the pitch. So, like I said, there's a lot of things that we did right that we can work on. But, again, like you said, we just didn't get the yardage that we wanted.
You know, what I did notice, it seemed like the Scrappers, you got to give them some credit. They had 7 tackles for loss. That puts us behind the chains and puts us in situations we don't want to be in.
Right. So I've said it many times, you know, our offense is built off. We want 3 yards and cloud of dust.
That's
we
got right.
to move the field. We got to move the ball down the field. So that's why I really stressed, you know, taking away the penalties and not having penalties, in which we didn't do the first game, but then the last two we have.
Right.
You know, only 5 penalties for 35 yards, or I think that was. I have to go back a little bit. There's only 5 penalties. And so that part's big. We can't put ourselves in negative yardage. But, again, we can't have negative tackles for a loss either, because that also hurts us. They sent a lot of pressure with linebackers and different types of safeties and stuff. So we tried to back off the line and throw the ball some just to get them off of the line of scrimmage. Again, we had a really good completion to Ulysses Cotto across the middle. And if you're, again, watching film, Cole Binkley had a linebacker directly in his face. And as he releases the ball, he never gets to see the completion because he's on his back. So that took a lot of courage to stand in that pocket and throw that ball.
Absolutely.
So there's things that we can work off of that we saw, but definitely we got to take away the negative yardage.
Yeah. Well, you got the bye week coming up. And, you know, I don't know if it's probably a good time for a bye before conference play, and you've got a couple of kids banged up.
Yeah, it's a perfect time. You know, we have three guys out right now. I'm not sure that two of them will be back before we play Hope. I'm hoping that they are, but right now it's not looking like they will be. But we got a few guys banged up that stepped in and played for us this past week, and this will be a great week for them to heal. And like I said yesterday, on a bye week, a lot of coaches I've talked to, you know, mentors of mine, it's a lot about reflection on that bye week, fixing the things internally, not too much worrying about what the other team's doing, but fixing what you have internally.
Right.
You know, working on your mental game, working on focusing them up on where their blocks are, what their reads are on defense, how we messed up here, what we can fix there. So yesterday, you know, we lifted weights, and then we had an hour and 15-minute film session. Breaking down what we did wrong or what we did right on defense and offensive line and linebacker and secondary. As far as, you know, our secondary goes, watching film, you know, Ulysses Cotto again, you know, continues to impress. You know, had 14 tackles this game.
Yeah.
I was really, really excited for Jake Martin. Jake Martin ended up having 11 tackles, but he made the play more times than he made tackles. And what I mean by that is you have that outside linebacker at Sam, and he has to set the edge to turn that speed back in.
That's right.
He may not make the tackle, but he makes the play by turning it back into our interior. And he did that a lot. And I had a lot of good things to say about him in film and watching it. Again, he was he and our secondary, I thought, had a good game. Watching film, they never had a wide open receiver. Anything that they could get, it was short yardage. They would be underneath us. They'd throw it, and we'd close in quick on them. There was no, you know, deep routes wide open. So these are all things that we built on. I watched yesterday on film our technique at linebacker and our technique at safety and corner, how they move and read. You know, some of it was great, some of it was not so great. But as far as their effort on getting to the ball, I thought the secondary, our corners, like they – I think we had 21 tackles from our safeties and 20 tackles from our corners. So those guys are coming up and playing ball, playing hard. We've got to get that interior seven back to where it was the first two games.
Yeah. Right, right.
Well, and you know, you mentioned Jake Martin, and Jake Martin's going to be our Gentry Chevy Leopard player of the game for this game. And he did have 11 tackles and two passes defended. Of course, Ulysses was the player of the game Friday night on the broadcast. And, he'd had a great game too, but congratulations to Jake Martin for that.
Yeah.
You know, and I know when you talk about bye weeks, you know, you talk about resting up, getting healed up, getting mentally ready for this conference that's starting now. And just kind of give me a little bit of what you're going to do this week that's different from a normal week. I know you talked about you're going to talk about yourself more than you're worried about any other teams.
Right.
But, you know, is practice different? Are you practice less?
Yeah, so practice, it's not less practice. We'll still have the same time frame. But what we'll do is in a typical week when I'm preparing for a team, you know, I'll go over their run game and their pass game, and I'll put together a scouting book, and we'll work on how we defend those plays with the type of defensive scheme that we have and offense of how we would like to block it. Well, this week is more focused on, you know, getting in the weight room a couple more days out of the week, getting in more film work and getting in conditioning, and also doing a lot of mental work and physical work, but not pounding each other and hitting as much. Because
yeah,
you're going to get that throughout the season no matter what. So this week is going to be really good for conditioning our legs and our lungs and running and conditioning our mind mental game by watching film. So it won't be as much as the ground and pound waiting, you know, to hit each other. What it is more learning what you can do to fix yourself. And then when it comes next week, we've already fixed everything about ourselves. So now we move on to Hope and see how what we fix can we take into that game?
Yeah. Well, we appreciate you coming in this week. We look forward to talking to you next week and see what you have to say about the Hope Bobcats.
Sounds good. Go Leopards.
Go Leopards. Go Leopards.
Let's take a second to talk about Harris Drug and Gifts, of course.
Yes.
205 DeQueen Avenue. Give them a call, 870-584-3522. Make them your hometown pharmacy. They've been in DeQueen family ran for over 50 years, Greg.
Over 50 years. One of the OGs in downtown DeQueen.
That's right.
And you know, they got everything you want, from all your prescription medications to over-the-counter medications to gifts galore.
Yeah,
just a whole building full of gifts.
That's right.
Bridal registry.
Yeah,
Razorback corner.
And it's not just one of those sterile environments that you walk into. No. Every time you walk in, it's kind of like something out of The Sandlot.
Yeah,
it's like a little slice of Americana.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. And they're so friendly when you go see them, and if you can't make it down there to pick it up, they'll deliver it for you.
That's right, with local delivery, free gift wrapping, and a whole bridal registry. It makes all the sense in the world to make Harris Drug and Gifts your pharmacy, and then also gift-giving hub here in Sevier County. Take a second to talk about the Lions, I suppose.
Yeah, let's talk about the Horatio Lions. They had a tough loss against the Lavaca Golden Arrows, 38-7. This week, they're going to be playing the Lafayette County team, and they've, while they're 0-2, both of their losses have been close to Gurdon and Bearden, and this is going to be the homecoming game for the Horatio Lions this week. So looking forward to that. And let's talk to Philip Fields a few minutes about the Horatio Lions.
Yeah, we have him on the line. Mr. Philip Fields, how are you doing today, sir?
All right. How are y'all doing?
Oh, we're doing well.
We're doing well.
Glad to see it raining a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah. It sure is.
So it looks like Horatio kind of had a tough game Friday night. Went up to Lavaca, Golden Arrows 38, Lions 7. What do you think the keys to the outcome of the game were?
Well, you know, it was a really interesting game. And, you know, despite the kind of upside down on the score, compared to how we played against Derek's last week, we were vastly improved. You know, the offense actually moved the ball pretty well. We executed well. Riley was 7 for 20 with 87 yards and a TD. He had one interception. But, you know, I'm gonna credit him on that interception. It was the last play of the second quarter just before halftime, and he was throwing for the end zone, and he had a receiver there. And there was a safety that came over and just snatched that thing out of the air, and I really thought he went out of bounds. But he got his feet in, so, you know, I'm going to give him a pass on that interception because he was throwing for the end zone. There was no time on the clock. But he did well. Drake had 10 carries for 65 yards. Riley carried 10 times for 27, and Ryland had 8 carries for 28. So we moved the ball well. One of the really interesting things that we did was we did a good job moving between the spread and the eye, and executed that eye really well. So those executions were really well. That being said, Lovaca did a great job preparing for the game. They've got a couple of guys. Reynolds is a very talented athlete. He's a punter. He can run. He can catch. He's got a lot of speed. Watching him run, I'd say he's got to be down in that 4-4 range somewhere. He's a very talented athlete. They got some great athletes, and you definitely saw that on the field Friday night.
Sounds like Trey Mason had a big night. He's our Horatio State Bank line player of the game. 6 catches, 73 yards, and a touchdown.
Yeah. And Trey Mason, that's going to be the key to the future, I think. We had a little bit of trouble getting on track, and that was the hard thing, and really getting into a good rhythm. And we moved the ball well, we just couldn't capitalize on it. And Trey Mason, when that's going to be the key, a big key to wins in the future, getting Riley to connect with Trey Mason, because he's got a lot of speed. If we can get him loose in the backfield and get him pointed downfield, you can count on 7 right away. So I think we've got a lot of potential for scoring with that combination with Trey Mason. He was out for the first game against Foreman with a shoulder injury, but he's been healthy since then. And if we can just get Riley connecting with Mason, I think we could have potential for some conference victories here coming up as the season progresses.
Great. And, you know, I know you used one word that I know Coach Castleman used when we talked to him at the beginning of the season, improved, and looking for improvement. And as the Lions improve and they do this, that's going to lead to victories in the future. At least we can hope for that, right?
That's right.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's the thing. If all you do is look at the scores, you can't see the improvement on the field. There was a lot of improvement in the last week and a lot of maturity. And I think Riley matured a lot in his passing. Our offense matured a lot, and I think that's going to progress throughout the season, and I think we'll see a lot of we got the potential to put some wins up, particularly against Lafayette County coming up this next week for homecoming. I think that should be a good contest.
Well, you all are going to host Lafayette County. The Cougars, they're 0-2, but they've had two close losses to Gurdon and Beard, and y'all didn't meet them last year. Do you know anything about them?
Yeah, it's just a little bit. Yeah, they've struggled the last couple of years, and they have some athletes that can come through. So it'll be interesting to see how things go. And I think it'll be a good contest between the two. They're kind of a program that's in rebuilding as well.
Right.
So it should be a good matchup.
Well, I'll tell you what, it sounds like the Lions have a good opportunity to get even at 2-2.
And you said this is homecoming for the Lions this week.
Yes, that is correct. Yeah, okay. It'll be homecoming.
So big game and homecoming.
Big doings in Horatio.
Big doings in Horatio. Yep, it's going to be a big game, and we look forward to seeing it. Talking to you soon, and appreciate you getting on with us and telling us about Lavaca and also previewing the game with Lafayette County.
Appreciate it, Philip. Go Lions.
Until next week.
Bye-bye. Tony, the Dirks Outlaws were winners this week, 30-25 over the Gurdon Go Devils, and just another great game by Jordan Hill.
Yeah, 2-1 on the year, raced out to a big lead in the first half, and then kind of hung on at the end. But 2-1 going into next week, and I'm sure they're a happy bunch of outlaws.
Yeah, looked like a great game for them. We got Jeff Tuttle, the play-by-play man for the Outlaws, with us today, and Jeff. What are your thoughts about the game?
Yeah, first off, it's good to be here, guys. I must not have messed up too bad last week. y'all had me back.
Don't take that as that. I just kidding.
Yeah. It was a good ball game to watch. Actually, at halftime, we talked about how sloppy a play it was. You know, the Outlaws scored on their first possession to take an 8-0 lead, and then the Go Devils – they found something they liked on the defensive side, and it was 12-8 Go Devils at the half. And, you know, the Outlaws outscored them, well, I've got it here, 22-0 in the third quarter.
Right.
And that made it 30-12, and then the Go Devils fought back, and Outlaws were lucky to get out of Clark County with a win, to be honest with you.
Well,
that's not an easy place to win.
We talked about that. We don't beat them very often, and the other night was a good win for that loss.
Yeah, you take a win against Gurdon at Gurdon anytime you can get.
Yeah.
That's a great win. And man, Jordan Hill, what's the deal?
Well, I mean, he's
unreal.
I was waiting on y'all to ask me about the game, and I was going to say two words. Jordan Hill. I don't know if y'all –
we've got some of them. Okay. You know, it sounded like the Go Devils had no answer for him. 224 yards rushing, 3 touchdowns, and just I'm telling you what, I've got him for 642 yards and 10 touchdowns through 3 games.
Yeah, it's amazing. And in the second quarter, honestly, the Go Devils, they have a kid, a lineman, goes both ways, named Braden King. Several colleges are looking at him. I think the University of Arkansas being one. He is he's a difference maker in the second quarter. He shut Jordan down, to be honest with you. He goes 6'4", 300 pounds. I go one of those, and I'm not 6'4". But, I mean, this kid chased Jordan down from behind.
You mean it's more evenly distributed?
Yeah. This kid chased Jordan down from behind at one time in the backfield. And then we come out in the second half and went with like a two-back set to where, hey, we got options. He yeah. might not be the guy that carries the ball. He was, but you had to respect the other running back at times, and it opened things up for Jordan, as you can see.
Looks like Kaysen Dugan, 12 tackles, and Jaron Hill with 10 had big games defensively.
Yeah, and on the defensive side, we had some kids. I'll get this back from you just so I can look and not mess it up. Peyton Beckman, Tomas Salgado, you know, they stepped in for some injured players, and, you know, they had 4 tackles, 7 tackles, one of them, and then Jake Kite, Jaron Hill, 8 tackles and 10 tackles. I mean, the defense stepped up when they had to. So
it just sounded like an overall, really. I mean, you called it sloppy first half, but, I mean, I think it was probably a pretty well-played game. It just, you know, y'all had to make adjustments at halftime to what they did in the second quarter to stop
it. Well, that sounds like where the ball game was won, in the locker room at halftime, and yes. You got to give Paul Ernest some credit for that.
Yeah, that's for sure. And just want to, before we leave this Gurdon game, just want to mention that, and this is going to be a shock to you, I know.
Brace yourself.
Yeah. Our Toad Thumper Lures Outlaw Player of the Game is Jordan Hill. You know, we talk about this, you know, Tony and I do, and, you know, we try to spread this stuff out, but you can't make a farce out of it.
Yeah.
And this guy's just dominating.
Yeah.
And you know, and he's just an outstanding job by him. You know, 224 yards. I mean, that's amazing.
Most of that in the second half. I mean,
and did a really good job. And for his efforts, he's a Toad Thumper Lures Outlaw Player of the Game. And congratulations to him. Looking ahead to this week, you're at home. Got Conway Christian coming in, somebody that's familiar to us. Coach Justin Kramer, who was a former Leopard coach, is the coach at Conway Christian. Looks like they've got at least a pretty good team.
Yeah, I talked to Coach Kramer. Well, I didn't talk to him. We texted a little bit yesterday back and forth. And like I say, I knew y'all were familiar with him. How many years was he here?
I think 4.
Yeah, something like that.
I wasn't sure. But, you know, I've always got a story, and he's married to a Derek's Outlaw.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
so
he is.
It all comes around.
I think that's one of the reasons they came this way.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I asked him yesterday. I told him I would be doing this with y'all, and I said, you know, if you have some people you want me to mention, you know, give us some stats, something to look at. And he sent me some names. They have a running back, Aaron Lovelace, averages 101 yards a game. And he said they're do-it-all guys, a kid named Brady Dumacus, averages 8.28 yards per carry and 26 yards per reception, with fumble recovery, fumble return for a touchdown, kickoff return for a touchdown.
Holy cow.
That's when he says he does everything for us. Yeah. So,
well, they got a do-it-threat quarterback, too. A junior, Jaron Thomas, 4.6 speed. He threw for over 1,000 yards last year and rushed for over 400 yards. So it sounds like on offense that Conway Christian's pretty potent.
Yeah, they have on the defensive side, defensive end with – have they played 3 games? I still haven't done.
Yeah, 3-0.
You know, he's got 4 sacks, 6 tackles for loss, 2 forced fumbles, and then a safety that has 5 interceptions right now with 1 return 97 yards for a touchdown. So they're going to defend the ball well, too, it looks like. You know, they've got all their bases covered, I would think.
Well, it just looks to me like they've got a really good team and going to be a great game.
17 returning starters.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a really good game up there last year. You know, the Outlaws pulled off the win, but, you know, it was a close game up there.
Yeah.
Homecoming for the Outlaws. I've never talked to a coach that likes homecoming.
Oh, this is homecoming week for you?
Yes.
Okay.
So Horatio and Derek's
they both have homecoming this week.
Coaches think it's the most distracting thing ever, but they would never tell all the girls' moms that, I'm sure.
You know, I think they're giving those boys way too much credit. I don't think they think about it that much anyway. I'm just kidding. There is a sense of distraction to that a lot of times, but you're right. It's part of it, and you just got to go through it, and you go on.
You're going to do it every year regardless.
That's exactly right. And you know, I just, you know, anything else you got on this game? Because I think it, You know, we've talked about them. I think, you know, they've got a great running backs averaging over 100 yards, which would be really good if he wasn't playing Jordan Hill, who's averaging over 200 yards. Yeah, I mean, so, I mean, you know.
Could be a really quick ball game. There might not be a lot of balls in the air.
Yeah, it may not be. I don't know how much, you know, of course, Kramer spread the ball. He had the spread when he was here, but he ran the ball out of the spread a lot.
Yeah, you know, they tried to throw it around on us last year quite a bit. I'm not sure what the numbers were, but
there was a lot of lightning in the air Friday night in the Leopards Scrappers game, and we're going to talk a little bit later about Foreman, and their game was drastically affected by the weather. Did y'all have anything like that?
No.
Okay.
No, sprinkled on us a little bit going that way, and we didn't see any.
You were blessed because there was lightning everywhere in Southwest Arkansas last Friday night.
Yeah. Well. Congratulations to the Dirks Outlaws for beating the Girton Gold Devils 30-25, and we're looking forward to a great homecoming victory against the Conway Christian team as they come to Dirks to face them this week. Appreciate you coming in, Jeff, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Appreciate y'all having me. I enjoy it.
DeQueen Animal Hospital at 1690 Highway 70 West here in DeQueen. Give them a call, 870-642-VETS, which is what now?
8387.
That's the one. Yeah, schedule your appointment today here in DeQueen. Also, Ashdown Veterinary Clinic at 139 Southern Drive in Ashdown. That one's 870-898-5181. Because we're about
What's
to
talk- that spell?
I
We'll get Jennifer to tell us what it spells.
Yeah,
we're gonna have to get,
help me.
We're gonna get somebody smarter than the four people in this room.
Yeah, that's right. Know. That's right. Hey, what? Observations pretty key.
Yeah.
I got a pretty good radar, Jeff.
Yeah.
But you know the thing about this is. Between the Queen Animal Hospital and Ashdown Veterinary Clinic, they have the entire Southwest Arkansas covered.
That's
with
right.
Services for any animal you have, whether it be a snake, a toad, a cat, a dog, a horse, cattle,
all of it.
Yeah,
a leech. My pet leech.
Yeah, they'll take care of your pet leech. They know exactly what to do with it.
Yeah, I promise. Feed it,
Doctor Martin knows exactly what to do with that.
Feed it to his parrot.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But I mean, they've got it all, and you know, especially right now, we're going into a time you need to make sure that you've got that flea and tick prevention because just like every other bug this time of year, they're looking to latch on somewhere nice because the weather's getting different.
And
heartworms always a big problem with animals. Need to make sure that you take care of that. When you do that, make sure your rabies vaccines are up to date, and they can do that also. They groom cats and dogs.
That's right.
Yeah, not at the same time.
Yep,
but they do groom them. They groom cats at one time, dogs at a different time. Not at the same time.
Yeah.
And if you need a spay or neuter job, they do that too.
Absolutely.
And, you know, one of the things they do, just to talk about that for just a second, you know, they spend a lot of time working with 4-H and those clinics that they do all over the area. And just a great service by them, you know.
For low cost.
Very low cost.
Yep.
Just barely probably covers the, you know, whatever it takes them to drive out there.
Sure.
And very low cost for them. They don't do it for the money. They do it for the 4-H and for the kids. And I think 4-H gets the money.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just one of the services they get. And you know, that's the thing about using local businesses. They give back.
That's right.
And that's just a great thing they do.
You see it all the time. I use DeQueen Animal Hospital every single time. And if you're in Ashdown, stop by Ashdown Veterinary Clinic. And it makes sense that we're talking about them because we're going to talk about the Ashdown Panthers, which I had the pleasure of finishing their game boardwalk-wise last Friday night, and it was definitely a heartbreaker.
Yeah, the Hope Bobcats came into Dick Hayes Stadium and beat the Ashdown Panthers 14-12. Very close game. You know, as Tony will tell you, that you know, they got some of the same issues that we've seen with other teams.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what the last 2 weeks have told me is Hope is much improved.
Yeah.
You know, they give Nashville all they wanted 2 weeks ago, and then Friday for them to go to Ashdown. And I don't care what the circumstances are. You go to Ashdown and beat the Panthers.
Yeah.
What was probably not a very confident team to start the season is probably a really confident team now.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It seems like the Ashdown Panthers probably should have beat Hope. That's just kind of what I was thinking going into the game. And the way the body language of the players afterwards also kind of confirmed that. There was just some, you know, some misplays. And, you know, I heard it straight from Jim Cross himself. And, you know, it was just a heartbreaker. Heartbreaker loss.
Well, and I think one of the things you see, and, you know, and this just happens sometimes, you know, both Tony and I, you know, since the Leopards played them earlier, we saw their kicking game. They missed two extra points, and that, to me, I wouldn't have thought they'd missed two.
Yeah.
Would you, Tony? They had a pretty good extra point kicker.
Well, yeah, he. I mean, he was pretty good for distance. His accuracy was not a lot to be desired, and that's what you really got to have.
Yeah.
I mean, you just got to have somebody that'll put the ball over the crossbar but hit it down the middle.
Mm.
And you and I have talked about on so many occasions in high school football, the kicking game is so much overlooked, but it's so important. If you've got a kid that hits on 9 out of 10 extra points and can hit a 30-yard or inside field goal, you've got a weapon that a lot of high school football teams don't have.
That's exactly right. And you know, and the other thing about the Panthers this week is something that they've been struggling with all year long, and it has affected them, their running game. They just had. They still haven't got their running game going.
And, even in the big win against the Leopards, we contained them. I think 52 yards on the ground, something like that. And you know, with their athletes, it's hard to believe they can't get that running game going.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, let's hear it from the man himself. We have Jim Cross on the line.
Jim, it sounded like it would have been an exciting ball game if you didn't care who won down at Ashdown Friday night. But the Panthers come out on the low end of a 14-12 game versus the Hope Bobcats. It was as close as the score indicates.
Yeah, it was a nip and tuck game, guys. Coach Philip Turner at Hope's done a great job of kind of getting the program back on solid footing. And in my years of watching Hope, this is one of the better teams that they've had. They're very, very talented up front. They're pretty good size and very athletic on defense. And their running back, Lindsay, is 5'4". And I think that causes troubles because he's hard to find.
We dealt with him in junior high.
Yeah, he had a good game. And then their receiver, Love, Isaac Love, was a good player as well. Quarterback had a good game. And then KD Gully on defense is as good as anybody you'll see.
Hey, I think he's the guy that makes every tackle, isn't he, Jim?
I think so. Yeah, I threw his name out there, whether he was making the tackle or not.
Well, he's kind of like Nash Brown for the Panthers. If you don't know who made the tackle, just call Gully out.
Yeah, I just used two names Friday.
Yeah, I understand that. So did weather kind of played a big part in the game too, didn't it?
Yeah, we had a lightning delay that we delayed halftime, I guess about 15, 20 minutes, but nothing during the game. So that was nice, but a little longer halftime break. And when you're doing radio like us, that's exactly what you're wanting. Isn't it, guys? Is a 15, 20-minute extra halftime show?
Yeah. Hey. Yeah, that works out great. a couple of country songs.
My board op clearly liked it. She needed me to take over for her.
I knew Tyler ended up finishing out the game for you on the board op. So I knew it lasted a little bit longer. But, you know, our Horatio State Bank Panther player of the game is going to be Nash Brown. And he led the team with 12 tackles and just had another outstanding defensive game. You know, seems like the we talked about this some, and the running game still not where it needs to be.
Yeah, it's really puzzling because the guys are, you know, seemingly our pass blocking is pretty good, and then we'll have a good running play or two, and then the next thing you know, we're losing 5 yards, and we just never can get a good rhythm. And Darnell, you know, who's a four-star athlete and being recruited by Ole Miss, and Ty Marks is a 1,000-yard rusher in the past, and those guys just can't really get untracked. And really our best runner has been Grayson Porter, the quarterback position, when we fake it to Darnell or Ty and kind of run a little counter dive the other side. That's kind of been our most efficient running, but we haven't broken a big running play yet.
Well, you know, you could take Ashdown's total yardage rushing for the first four games. That was one game a year, 2 years ago. They've just not been able to get on track.
Yeah, and I say it's hard, talking to the coaches. You know, the linemen are getting better and they're playing more snaps together. Now, they moved Nash Brown to guard, and that seemed to help a little bit. So we're asking Nash to play both ways, and which is a good thing in one sense, but in another sense, you see the good teams, fellas, the really good teams don't play a lot of guys both ways.
Right.
And so you kind of worry about that as the season goes on. But if anybody can do it, Nash can do it.
When you and I talked this weekend, Jim, you talked about the penalties and just too many flags against the purple.
Yeah, we had seven illegal procedures.
Ow.
And I was kidding Coach Richardson. I said, do you handle that like basketball coaches do free throws? You know, the more you talk about it, the more it stiffens you up.
Yeah.
Or, you know, what do you do?
Shock syndrome.
Yeah. So he talked about that maybe you have a session of first part where you just try to focus, and the next session you make everything really loud and rambunctious and try to, keep their focus. And but it's kind of a strange thing because, the guys are in good shape. They're all, very highly intelligent guys. And so it's kind of been a real question mark why that's been occurring in week three.
Well, and then another factor in the game, Jim, was something Greg and I talk about all the time, maybe to the point where people beat on their car radio and say, quit talking about that.
Yeah, that's right.
But the kicking game in high school football, and it hurts you Friday night.
Yeah, it hurt us, guys. We really don't have a kicker per se. We got athletes that are kicking, and they're playing, like our Darius Norman, he plays offensive tackle, and then we're asking him to kick, and that's a lot, fellas. And it'd be nice if we could develop just a kicker, and we've had some of that in the past, but this year that just hadn't been the case. And it's been a concern all year. I think we've made one extra point in three games, and we've had to go for two. And with that, going for two is at best a 3 out of 10 proposition. And it's hopefully we can get that figured out this week.
Well, and this week, it doesn't get any easier. The Ida Belle Warriors, who I'm good friends with their announcer, Jerry Falling, and another minister, Jim. He is the associate minister at the Bypass Church of Christ in Ida Belle. A lot of ministers in radio and play-by-play.
They got a lot of free time.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
The reason I was told
just 20
that
minutes,
I received,
20 minutes a week is all we work. Yeah,
yeah, that's it. Well, see, I work 60 minutes because I got three of them. So,
well, there you go. See, yeah. There's Jim, the hardworking man.
Yeah, he's a hardworking preacher.
They're just 1-0. They didn't get to play Broken Bow last week, and our hearts go out to the Broken Bow community.
Yes.
As they are mourning a loss over there. So they didn't play their junior high game with the Cubs Thursday night, and they didn't play the varsity game with the Warriors Friday night. And I know the Warriors were really looking forward to that game because Broken Bow gets the best of them a lot, and they thought this was going to be maybe their time to get the best of the Savages. But he mentioned some players to me, Waylon Phillips, their quarterback, running back Ravon Larry, and wide receivers Larell Lopez and Joseph Gibson. And he said on the offensive side of the ball, they're pretty solid, and maybe not as solid on the defensive side of the ball. So you may be headed to a track meet Friday night, Jim.
Well, I remember Lopez last year. He gave us a lot of trouble, especially on the bubble and the slant. He was really efficient. And I seemed like I looked at my stats the other night, and he had like 8 catches against us last year. And then Larry, he's track star. I mean, he's as fast as lightning. And so I remember those guys. And the quarterback had a good game last year. So, yeah, it's going to be – we're going to have to score. I mean, I think we're going to score 5 touchdowns to play with them. And we just haven't done that so far this year.
Well, and you're going there too, Jim, which adds another layer of complexity.
Well, actually, they're coming to our place.
Oh, they're coming there. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's good. Okay. Okay. I thought they were coming there, but you know, one thing that we do, this is the Shelter Insurance Woods Agency game of the week. And you know, so we're looking for a really good game here. And we think that the Panthers will prevail in this game, but we think it's going to be a great game.
Yeah, I think our edge is just by what you guys said about their play by play guy is that defensively, I mean, we're pretty solid. I mean, we're averaging giving up what 10 points a game, and so you feel like that we can get some stops on Ida Bell, and we can match up with their speed, but we're gonna have to score. So, but defensively, I think we're as good as we've been. You know, probably in a while. You got Nash Brown and Hayden Ziegler at linebacker, and you know, Caleb Blankenship and Darnell Williams at safety, and Ty Marks at linebacker, and Tatum Johnson. I mean, those guys are as good as you know, those are our typical Ashdown Panther guys on defense. So, you know, hopefully we can hold them to 3 or 4 touchdowns and maybe score some ourselves.
Well, it'd be great to see that Panther running game get going, and especially heading into conference and the games you've got coming up.
Yeah,
got some tough customers.
Yeah, and you know, and it kind of what's funny is that people think because Nashville and Arkadelphia have lost a few games are not as good, but you look who they're playing.
Yeah,
and you know, Arkadelphia has played, you know, just an outstanding schedule, and so I mean, you just kind of got to push that aside and assume they're going to be as talented as they always are, and you know, Nashville lost to a good Magnolia team, and. So, I mean, I think that, and of course, Malvern, I mean, my goodness, Malvern's going to be amazing. And then Mina's, as you guys know, is much improved.
Yes. Yeah, we can attest to Nashville and Mina both being, you know, they're going to give you all you want. So.
Yeah.
Have we done a player of the game?
You know what? We did Nash Brown, 12 tackles, Horatio State Bank Panther player of the game, and Nash is one of those kids that probably not the last time that we'll say his name where this award is concerned.
Yeah, I was kidding, Nash, when we gave him the award. I said, Nash, we almost take you for granted, you know, because we just kind of assume he's going to play well. We could actually give it to him almost every week, but he's that good a player, and he's such a great young man. We had a little deal. I just finished up doing a deal called SOAR Group, where we bring different speakers into the school to talk to the kids, second and fifth grade boys, and we had the football team today. And so Nash Brown and Caleb Blankenship, Ty Marks, and Tramell Williams came and talked to the kids, and, well, they just did a fantastic job, and you know, they were asking questions, and I mean, it was just so not only are these guys good football players, but they're even better guys.
That's what we're doing.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
trying to build great young men. That's great that they're doing that. Jim, we appreciate you coming on again this week, and we just hope the Panthers have a big win Friday night against the Warriors from Ida Bell.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. This is one of those ones that you circle. This is a big time game here, so we're looking forward to it.
Good deal. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, you guys have a good week.
Take care. Bye-bye.
So the Foreman Gators had an interesting night on Friday as well.
Boy, to say the least. I got to converse with Coach Lynch over the weekend, and not a very happy bunch of Gators or Hampton Bulldogs, by the way.
Yeah.
Hampton gets the 8-0 win over Foreman. They only got to play 4 minutes, and then they had a lightning delay, and apparently the officials would not stick around and took off, and they get to play 4 minutes. You know, Foreman's already missed a ball game because of sickness, mm-hmm. So where everybody else has played, if my math's right, 144 minutes in the high school season so far, Foreman's played 52. Yeah. And that's just – I mean, you work all summer – and that month of August is you know, just brutal, and to be disappointed as much as these young men have been disappointed, I feel for them.
So does this count?
Yes.
This counts as a loss for them?
Yes.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. Yes.
Yep. And, you know, one of the things that it kind of brings up something that I was – trying not to talk about, but I'm going to go and talk about it just a little bit.
Well, that's always a good move.
Yeah. You speak the truth on this podcast.
Well, I just think that, you know, the thing about it is
come on,
high school athletics is for the kids.
Yeah.
And that's what it all ought to be about is the kids. It should be, you know, these officials should have stayed there. And if it took till, because you can't cancel a game.
Yeah,
you know, you can't. You can cancel one. You can't postpone.
You would have
a game.
To have common bye weeks.
Yeah,
and to be able to make
it
up.
That'd be a miracle. If
it
that
would
happen.
Be. Yes,
you know, and if the coaches said that and they said, okay, let's go home, let's go home, and you know, and if there was a tornado coming through, yeah, sure. I understand that. But you know, these storms, and you could look at them and tell they weren't going to be that long, even if it was an hour delay. That's.
I mean, we're just. What, 30 minutes up the road, the Nashville to Queen game wasn't even delayed for like.
No.
Yeah.
No, and you could see it off in,
yeah.
you know, away. But, I mean, it would. But anyway, you know, which, you know, just it brings me to another point is, you know, we see, you know, in a lot of these games, we see sportsmanship rule applied, which I don't like that rule. Being called sportsmanship because there's no sportsmanship to it.
Yeah,
it's a mercy rule, so the game will get over with quicker because one team's so far ahead, not 35 points at half. And you know, people that just keep pouring it on when it's that way, you know, you're clearly dominant. There's just no sense in that.
It seems
and
to happen
anybody
every time.
That wants to argue with me about it, I'll be glad to talk to them about it. Yeah. The one point that I've heard is, well, you know, you've got people that you can stop us if you don't like it. Well, you know, that's all well and good if you can go and recruit people and you can do that, and some people do, by the way. But it, you know, in high school where you've got what you've got, and you're clearly dominating somebody, there's no reason for that to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, let's give kids a break. Let some other kids play.
Yeah.
You know?
I would expect during mercy ruling that they bring out the, you know, the guys that haven't had much time
at all. Yeah, you
wouldn't
expect the first team to still be playing at the end of the game.
That's I hear it every time.
Yeah.
Or
and
the first
yet
team
again.
Quarterback to throw a touchdown late in the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, it's just – I mean, I'm not going to say anything else about it, but, you know, just like these officials, I mean, that's, to me, uncalled for. They would have to come up here and give me a really good explanation of why they do that to kids. You know, these kids, I mean, you know, it's not like Hampton's 20 minutes away.
Right.
I mean, that's a 3.5-4 hour bus ride.
Yeah. Well, and Coach Lynch said that he had not seen anything like it in 23 years of coaching. And Hampton was just as upset as they were.
Yeah.
So,
who are these officials?
Well, we'll get the names.
Yeah.
we'll announce them. Nah. But that probably won't happen. But you know what we're going to do for Foreman due to this, we're going to give the Horatio State Bank Gator Player of the Game to the entire team and the coaching staff. Just
I
for
like
persevering through sickness and through officials that won't do what they're supposed to do.
This be the roughest start to a high school football season.
Yeah. I can't think of anything like it.
Yeah,
I mean,
I've watched a lot of high school football. I've statted for teams, did radio for teams, and I can't think of anything close to what the Gators have been through 3 weeks.
No. But anyway, looking at the Gators next week, they've got a tough road.
Mm-hmm.
They're home, but against Falk, and Falk lost to Mineral Springs, but beat the Dierks Outlaws in the first game of the year. And last week, they beat Waldron like a dog,
47-0. And you know, I got to look at the Waldron team because that's who we played in a scrimmage. And while we dominated them, we didn't 47-0 dominate.
Sure,
and. So I imagine the Gators will have to be at their very best to give Falk a ball game.
Yeah.
Well, there should be some pent up energy there.
Well, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
And fatigue should not be a factor.
No.
Foreman was beaten by Falk last year 57-22. So
yeah. Like you guys really called it a couple weeks ago with Horatio and Dierks, was it? Right. I mean, Dierks coming off a loss, Horatio coming off a big win. I was a little bit like, I don't know, you know, which way. And you guys said, I think Dierks has
the
vengeance.
Yeah, they had the edge.
They had the edge in that. So Foreman should have an edge as well. I appreciate your take on that, Stephen A. Revels.
Thank you.
By the way. It's absolutely despicable. Reprehensible.
Well, I didn't really tell you how I felt about it.
Okay, no.
I held back.
I know you did.
If you want to know the truth.
Yeah.
But I just, you know, back to that just for a second. Mm-hmm. Let's just remember what it's about.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, this is, you know, I know that people's jobs depend on what they do, but, you know, when you're obviously, you know, you've beaten somebody, mm-hmm. Why do you have to, you know, just crush them into the ground?
Right, right.
Well, and you know, the thing is, especially late in a sportsmanship rule game, you've probably got seniors over there that have never ran the football.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you got seniors over there that have never thrown the football. I don't get it. Maybe if I was in the same situation, I'd do the same thing, but I don't think so. I think that I'd think of it a little different.
Yeah.
No,
I'm with you.
No, I wouldn't do it, but looking forward to Foreman actually getting to play a full game,
yeah,
against the Panthers, and good luck to them. Hope they do well in that game.
And congratulations to their team, coaching staff, all players of the area, because, man, it's a rough start to this season.
Yeah, it really is. And,
yeah.
And, you know, we got to do one more thing before we go. We've got to name the area player of the game sponsored mm-hmm. by Pilgrim. And the Pilgrim area player of the game is going to be Jordan Hill of the Dirks Outlaws. He had 224 yards rushing, 3 TDs, and his long run was 64 yards. So just another amazing performance by the young man. Yeah, it's 2 weeks in a row.
Well, yeah, and over 600 yards in 3 games.
Yeah.
And
interception as well.
Also had an interception, so.
Very cool, man.
Yeah, I mean, just doing a great job for the Outlaws, and for his efforts, he's going to be the Pilgrim area player of the game.
You got it.
Excuse me. He's going to be the Pilgrim player of the area.
There you go. Awesome.
Congratulations, Jordan Hill.
One more thing, Greg. You and I have been talking up Little Rock Parkview probably ever since we saw them last year in War Memorial Stadium. And I've been telling all my Benton buddies up there who's, you know, next door to Bryant, look out for Parkview. They're going to get the Hornets. And guess what happened?
They got them.
They got
28-27.
So you and I called that. Parkview, yeah. They're just so impressive. And so impressive from the top down. Brad Boulding, one of the nicest guys that we've met in high school coaching. And, boy, just congratulations to the Parkview Patriots. Getting the Bryant Hornets, snapping a long winning streak. I'm not sure how long the winning streak.
54 games.
54
in
game
state.
Winning. Yes.
Yeah.
What? So
it was 24 games overall.
Man, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome, and we'll get to see the Parkview Patriots. Thank you, AAA.
Yeah.
Here in 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. September 28th, they'll be in Leopard Stadium to face the Leopards.
Yes.
And you know, great team, great coaching staff. And what we were talking about earlier about sportsmanship, couldn't be in a better sportsman last year.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. He is just a stand-up guy, has had a lot of success at several schools, and I could not be happier for the Little Rock Parkview Patriots.
Yeah, great awesome. Job by them. And that ends up episode 7.
Yeah, I do want to take a moment just to remind everybody, you know, again, big thanks for listening and checking out the Facebook page, all the social medias, and whether you listen live on Facebook, Spotify, or directly on the website, thewashitapodcasts.com. Well, we greatly appreciate it. All the numbers are looking really, really good. So feeling confident, feeling good, episode 7 in the books, and glad to continue doing this for you guys. And again, we just really want to give a space where we can give shout-outs to the kids, the coaches, everybody who does so much hard work here in Southwest Arkansas for our high school football sports. And, so again, you can listen live, Facebook, thewashitapodcast.com, Spotify. I believe we are on Amazon. We're hoping to get into iTunes, but it's been a lot more difficult than we could have thought. So that should be on the way, though. That's on the roadmap for the Southwest Arkansas sports page on the air. So again, more interaction, go and like us on Facebook if you haven't yet. We definitely appreciate it. And we appreciate all of our sponsors as well, like Harris Drug and Gifts at 205 DeQueen Avenue, also DeQueen Animal Hospital and Ashdown Veterinary Clinic, and of course our title sponsors, Dr. Randy Walker. He's also with Leopard Care Clinic, Ayers Cleaners, Simple Simons. We couldn't thank you guys enough for all the continued support. So big thanks to the listeners, And a big thanks to the sponsors as well.
Yeah, we appreciate them because that allows us to do this. And we'll be back next week to recap week four.
Or three.
Week four.
There you go.
Week four. See you next week.
See you next week.